إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعين وأستغفره أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فازا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him, and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah, and whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. By Allah's leave, today inshallah we'll continue our classes concerning the book Bulugh al-Maram, and today inshallah this constitute the lesson number 29, the lesson number 29 from the book Bulugh al-Maram, which is translated to the attainment of the achievement. And today, which is October 13 for the year 1998, which is equivalent to the 23rd of Jamada al-Akhirah for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I said, today is our 29th class concerning this book. And some of the brothers specifically in Jersey City had requested for me to give some clarification about the additional book that I'm using for the explanation of this book. And I would like to mention today that I have Bulugh al-Maram, which with the explanation of Abu Qutaybah Nazar Muhammad, and I have Bulugh al-Maram, which has also the explanation from Safi al-Rahman, and also I have the Bulugh al-Maram which has the explanation and authentication by Sheikh al-Albani and Sheikh Abdullah al-Bassam. In the meantime, I use also the book Bulugh al-Maram, which had been given some comments by Sheikh Muhammad Hamid al-Fiqhi. Also, we get information from Nail al-Ma'arib fi Tahdhib Sharh Umdat al-Talib. And addition to this, I have Raud al-Nadiyya, عن إرواء الغليل بوك نمبر 1 المعجم فقه السلف عن سبل السلام للصنعاني. So basically to deal with the book بلوغ المرام, I try my best to get the information from these sources. So if anybody who have these books in Arabic or know to read Arabic and they would like to check some of what information that I presented here, they can check these books inshallah. Today we're dealing with a new subject, and this is a book of prayer, Kitab al-Salah. And for those who have the book Bulugh al-Maram, we're dealing today with chapter number 13. Chapter 13, page 167, concerning Babu Salat al-Khawf. Babu Salat al-Khawf. Salat al-Khawf, prayer in time of fear. So this is what we're going to be dealing with today. First of all, that Salat al-Khawf. Salat al-Khawf in actuality is supposed to be the Salah in the time of Khawf. Okay? So Salat al-Khawf is the time that a person in fear. And the possibility also that today inshallah we have two chapters, because the chapter is short, so it's going to be possibility of Salat al-Khawf and Salat al-Eidain. And if there is time more, we may talk about the eclipse prayer inshallah. Salat al-Khawf, the prayer in the time of fear. And for some reason I forgot one of the books which it have the verse number, because Salat al-Khawf is had been mentioned in the Quran. And so alhamdulillah qaddar Allahu ma sha'a fa'al. But Salat al-Khawf is the prayer that the person do it during the time of fear, regardless the fear of enemy, an army combat or army attack, or a fear that there is an earthquake, or a fear of any kind of nature. So the Salah during this time we call it Salat al-Khawf, Salah in the time of fear. And as I said, that Salat al-Khawf had been mentioned in the Quran, وهي ثابتة بالكتاب والسنة وأجمع الصحابة على فعلها. He didn't mention the reference here for the verse, but again is my fault. If I'm not mistaken, it's Surah An-Nisa. But inshallah, yeah, Surah An-Nisa, and if I'm not mistaken, will be verse 102, Surah number 4, verse number 102. And if somebody can double check this information, will be good. But Salat al-Khawf have a different ways, and as the scholar they said, is approximately about 16 form of prayer for Salat al-Khawf. And the most authentic on all of them is approximately about 6 or 7 different form to how to pray. And this from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows you that Islam wants a Muslim, regardless whatever happening to him, to be in touch with Allah, even in the time of the battlefield. So your involvement in the fighting, actual fighting, did you find it, akhi? Yes. Surah An-Nisa, yes. What's the verse number? 102. that even the person, if he are in the battlefield, except Allah subhanahu, still Allah didn't excuse the Muslim to neglect their prayer. And this shows you the seriousness of some Muslim neglecting their prayer because they have exam or they have a school, or because this is the best time, I understand, to make money during Jum'ah, or you cannot close the shop because if the people come and see if this is lunch hour, this is the best time to be making money. All this is foolishness, okay? So the dollar became God to some people, and instead of saying Allahu Akbar, they saying the dollar is Akbar and the dollar is greater. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the salah obligatory in the Muslims even in the time of fighting the enemy. Not only the salah, even he recommended salatul jama'ah. You see, even salatul jama'ah to be done during the war. And inshallah we have approximately about 15 to 17 hadith that we're going to discuss today inshallah concerning Salat al-Khawf, or the prayer during the time of fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it permissible for the person to carry some of their whippings, okay, during the Salah, in case that while you're making Salah that you have to fight the enemy, okay, but not to be carrying things as examples that could, for you could not move with it, okay, like a tank or some, talking about like a handgun or a rifle, something that you can defend yourself or you can do some action while you still can move and go and come. So during even the Salat al-Khawf, it may be necessity sometimes that the person have to move from his spot, okay. So the Salat al-Khawf, as we stated, it have a different forms and it reaches almost to about maybe 16 a different form. The most authentic, as I said, among them is 7, and the most reliable or chosen way by Imam Ahmad is the one in the hadith of Suhail, hadith Sahl, and inshallah we're going to mention the hadith. Without going into too much details concerning the prayer during the fear, this hadith number 379 in page 167 from the book Bulugh al-Maram, The Attainment of the Achievement Objective, عن صالح ابن خوات رضي الله تعالى عنه عمن صلى مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم ذات الرقاع صلاة الخوف أن طائفة صفت معه وطائفة وجاه العدو فصلى بالذين معه رقعة ثم ثبت قائما وأتموا لأنفسهم ثم انصرفوا فصفوا وجاه العدو وجاءت الطائفة الأخرى فصلى بهم الرقعة التي بقيت ثم ثبت جالسا وأتموا لأنفسهم ثم سلم بهم متفق عليه. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, which is authentic, reported by Salih ibn Khawad, and that this happened during the Ghazwa, the battle of Dhat al-Riqa', and Dhat al-Riqa' is a battle happened out of al-Madinah approximately the 4th year after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the riqa' is patches, like the patches that you put in your pants when you wear out, call a patch. So al-riqa' is the plural of ruqa', and call the battle of riqa' because that the land that they have to face the enemy in it was so rough to such a degree that the shoes and the socks and all the things that the Sahaba have been wear out and they have to use like wrapping things around their feet. Okay? So they call it that riqa'. And in this battlefield, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Salat al-Khawf, the prayer during the fear. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the army split to two groups. Okay? One group, they've been facing the enemy, in the direction of the enemy. And the second half came and stood behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led them in one raq'ah. And after he made the two sajda of the first raq'ah, he waited, or he stood up. And this rank behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they continued a second raq'ah in their own, while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still waiting. And they made the slim out, they left, and they went, they faced the enemy. The first group which was watching the enemy, they came and they took place behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the second raq'ah with the second group. Okay? And after this he stood, or he sat in his position sitting down after tashahud. And they got up and they made the second raq'ah for themselves. And they sat, and after this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the slim out. So that means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had did what? He prayed two raq'ahs. The first group, they prayed two raq'ahs. The second group, they prayed what? Two raq'ahs. Okay? And this form that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, this shows us one of the formality of Salat al-Khawf during the fear. And from this hadith, we see the permissibility of Salah during the fear. That moving during the prayer, okay, because you are in time of fear, doesn't spoil your Salah. Okay? This also hadith shows us the necessity or the importance of Salat al-Jama'ah even in the time of difficulty and the time of war. Also this hadith we learn from it that we have to be careful, especially when we're dealing with our enemies. Okay? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had split the army to two groups. He didn't say, "Lay, we trust in Allah, tawakkalu ala Allah, and this it." Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that we have to be careful and that we have to be taking our cautious when we're dealing with our enemy. So he split the army to two groups, and one group was watching while one group was making the salah. Also we see how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made all the Sahaba happy, because everybody want to get the privilege of praying behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we pray by the whole Jama'ah in the same time, that mean the enemy may be rolling them while they making Salah. Okay? And if we take one group and he made the Jama'ah, so the other group will feel bad because they did not pray with the Jama'ah, with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second hadith, hadith number 380, in page 168. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال غزوت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل نجد فوازينا العدو فصافناهم فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فصلى بنا فقامت طائفة معه وأقبلت طائفة على العدو وركع بمن معه وسجد سجدتين، ثم انصرفوا مكان الطائفة التي لم تصلي، فجاءوا فركع بهم ركعة وسجد سجدتين، ثم سلم فقام كل واحد منهم فركع لنفسه ركعة وسجد سجدتين. This hadith is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhima. So the hadith is authentic. The hadith reported by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. And he's mentioning here about one of the battles that they involved with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was towards Najd. And Najd is a name for any high land, okay? The land that higher than the rest of the land, they call it Najd. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood up for Salah. And here the army also been split to two groups. And the first group, they pray perform with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One raka'ah. And after this they left. And they took the place of the other group. And the other group, which they didn't perform the prayer, they came. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed a raka'ah with them. Okay? That mean in this case, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam split the army. Okay? And that he led them in one raka'ah. And they left. And the second group they came, which is equivalent to basically the second hadith. And the second group had came and they performed the prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed two rak'at. وَسَجَدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ فَقَامَ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ فَرَقَعَ لِنَفْسِهِ رَقْعَةً وَسَجَدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ. So the group, they got up and they made one rak'ah and two sajdatayn and two prostration. So that mean everyone prayed two rak'at and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led every group in one rak'at. The same benefit we see it in from the other hadith, so it's nothing new really in this second hadith. The third hadith, which hadith number 381 reported by Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, قَالَ شَهِدْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَلَاةَ الْخَوْفِ فصففنا صفين صف خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والعدو بيننا وبين القبلة فكبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكبرنا جميعا ثم ركع ورقعنا جميعا ثم رفع رأسه من الركوع ورفعنا جميعا ثم انحدر بالسجود والصف الذي يليه وقام الصف المؤخر في نحر العدو فلما قضى السجود قام الصف الذي يليه. Okay, this in this case is a different way because the enemy in this case was facing in the direction of the Qibla. So the first hadith and the second hadith that the enemy as example in this direction or this direction or this direction. But this hadith, the enemy in this direction of the Qibla. So here in this case, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought the whole Sahaba, the whole Muslim army behind him. And they became two ranks. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led them in two rak'at. He started the Salah, he read the Salah, went for ruku', everybody went for ruku'. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Everybody got up, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for sujood, the first rank only went for sujood, while the second rank still standing up. Okay? You follow me? So the first rank, we have two ranks, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the enemy. So everybody watching the enemy while they making the salah. So after the ruku', the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went down for sujood, and the first rank only went down, while the second rank is still standing up watching the enemy, having their weapon with them. Now when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished the sujood and he got up, now the first rank got up and the second rank went down for sujood, because now the first rank will be watching while the second rank will be making the prostration. And they got up everybody. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went again to the second rak'ah. Okay, they bow down together, سمع الله لمن حمده together, and after this Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went down for sujood. The first rank only went down while the second rank is what? Watching. Alaykum assalam. So this will be the salah. So everybody praying how many rak'at now? Two rak'at. And the whole army is not split. The split happened in only the positions while the second rank watching the first rank is making the sujood. Everybody make two rak'at in this case also. This was hadith number 381. وفي رواية ثم سجد وسجد معه الصف الأول فلما قاموا سجد الصف الثاني. Okay, and this also is authentic. وفي أواخر ثم سلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وسلمنا جميعا. Okay, which also in the collection of Imam Muslim is authentic. That in the other version, that everybody in the end, they make tashahud together and make taslim out together. Okay? The first case, that the first group, they taslim out without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after they complete the two rak'at. The second group, they taslim out with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? In this case, because the enemy in the direction of the Qibla, everybody pray together except when they go for sujood. And after this, the Imam, which is the Prophet ﷺ, waited for everybody to be tashahud together, taslim out together. The other version, which is the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, was that ba'asfan. Okay, the addition here that this happened during the battle of Asfan, and this also is authentic. The next narration, which is in the collection of Imam An-Nisa'i. Okay, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بطائفة من أصحابه ركعتين ثم سلم ثم صلى بآخرين ركعتين ثم سلم. And this also is authentic. That means that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam split the army to two groups, and he led the first group in two rak'at taslim out, and after this they went there to watch the enemy, and those who did not pray, they came and pray with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, start prayer with them. Okay, and he led them in what? In two rak'at. So now that the Salatul Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the first group is the obligatory. Okay? Let's say Salatul Zuhr as example. So he led them in two rak'at. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the first group, they perform the prayer. How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lead the other group? So we say that the second prayer for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an optional prayer. Okay? Because he already performed the Zuhr. you did not repeat the salah twice. Okay? And this also to show you the permissibility, jawaz, imamat al-mutanaffil lil-muftarid. And this also to show us the permissibility that the imam can be making nafil and the followers can be making fard. Because we have two groups. One group came and the Prophet ﷺ led them in salah. So they already performed their obligation as well as the Prophet. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will lead the second group making obligatory. But what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making, he could not be repeating the fard again. So this is optional prayer for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this again because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam don't want to make the Sahaba feel bad. He led some in salah and didn't lead some because they're concerned about the blessings, especially praying behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this hadith we understand the permissibility of making the salah that already been performed but with the intention of making it what? Nafila, optional. And the permissibility of the imam leading the ma'moom while he is in nafila and the ma'moom is in obligatory prayer. The next hadith, hadith number 382, page 170. وعن حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى صلاة الخوف بهؤلاء ركعة وهؤلاء ركعة ولم يقضوا. رواه أحمد. حديث حذيفة وهو حديث صحيح in the collection of الإمام أبو داود النسائي and Sheikh Al-Albani حفظه الله. He mentioned the hadith to be authentic. This hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salla salat al-khawf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the prayer of fear or during the time of fear. بهؤلاء والزوس ركعة one ركعة وبهؤلاء ركعة ولم يقضوا. And the hadith is authentic. So this is another form of salat al-khawf that in one rak'ah. Okay? So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now as I said, we have about 16 different forms of salat al-khawf. Okay? And all of them been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see that even in this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he led them. And here, the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed two rak'at. Okay? The first group, they made only one rak'at. And they went out, taslim out. The second group, they came and they prayed behind the Prophet ﷺ, one rak'at. And this out. And the salah was completed for both group. Okay? So the salat al-khawf can be also one rak'at. There is another narration in the collection of Imam Ibn Khuzaymah reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Hadith number 383 وعن ابن عمر radiallahu ta'ala عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الخوف ركعة على أي وجه كان. رواه البزار بإسناد ضعيف. This hadith which reported by Ibn Umar, we don't have too much comment on it because the hadith is weak. And the hadith is weak because Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman ibn al-Baylamani, and he is very weak. And this is the reason that the hadith is not authentic. The next hadith also ليس في صلاة الخوف سهو which in the collection of Dharakotni and Al Kabir. And this because Abdul Hamid ibn Sirri is the only one, and he is weak also, though the hadith is classified to be weak. Basically, this is the hadith which came in the book Bulugh al-Maram concerning Salat al-Khawf, or the prayer during the time of fear. In other cases, this in general Salat al-Khawf, in other cases that the person may have to even leave his spot, he may even have to run, he may even have to be jumping, but still the Salah is obligatory. And still, even in the battle and what you call with meeting in the enemy, what you call that combat in actual fighting, it still is not excuse for the Muslim to neglect the Salah. Okay? Even if the person has to talk sometimes things which is not related to the Salah. So as example, he may even move from the direction of the Qibla completely. He may run from a hidden spot to another hidden spot, and while he shooting, he may say, watch Abdullah, watch this somebody behind you, Rahman Rahim Malik Yawmiddin, whatever it is, okay, and keep saying the Fatiha. And in this case, he's not going to have to go in actual ruku' and the prostration, will be only the ima' or the moving the head, and the person keep saying the, and if he could not even, will be the tasbih and the tahmid, and still this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So, although that the salah or the chapter tonight was concerning salat al-khawf, but still I want to emphasize this point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the salah to be obligatory on the Muslim regardless. And alhamdulillah, we are not in a battlefield. We are in a battlefield with our own desires, with our own weakness, with our own shaitan, with our own, you understand? But we are not carrying guns nowadays, okay, fighting somebody, and still you found some Muslims neglecting the prayer, or telling you about Allah Ghafur Rahim, Rabbina Rabbi Lub, Umashi, you see, Wa'tallah in Allah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long your heart is good, don't worry about it, okay? This is nonsense, this is not deen. This is not deen. Regardless whatever it is that you are in, you still have to make your salah. And I don't think that any of us who sitting now that we are in a jihad with the kuffar face to face carrying weapon for us to neglect our salah because they understand it's only 5 minutes before the class, or this lecture I could not leave it, or you understand if I attend the salah jum'ah I get fired from my job, all these things. We have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guard our prayer inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go to chapter number 14, page 171, Babu Salatil Eidain. Babu Salatil Eidain. And the Eidain is the Musanna, the plural, is the dual for Eid. The word Eid, this is the Musanna, the dual for it, which Eidain, okay? And in halat al-raf will be idan if it's mubtada, if you started the sentence for it. So like the Eid, the two Eid became idain. Okay, so now in this chapter is going to talk to us about salat al-idain, the salah of the feast prayer, or the Eid prayer, the prayer of the two Eid festivals. This page 171, and this in hadith نمبر 385. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الفطر يوم يفطر الناس والاضحى يوم يضحي الناس. رواه الترمذي. This hadith is authentic. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi. And the hadith, as I said, is authentic. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us, Eid al-Fitr is the day in which the people break their fast. And Al-Adha is the day they offer sacrifice. What is this supposed to mean? As we understand, the Islamic month, or what some people call it the Arabic month, okay, that is 29 days or 30 days, no more. Okay? So let's assume by mistake that the people did not see the crescent and they went to the next day, which is the 30th, and now they break their fast the next day. Okay, so the 29th you go and watch, look for the crescent. If there is a crescent, so there is no 30th, will be Eid. If you did not see the crescent, you fast the next day, and after this would be the Eid. So let's assume that in actuality that we made a mistake and Ramadan was supposed to be 29 days, and because it's cloud or because our vision is weak or whatever the reason, that we didn't see the crescent, and we fast the 30th of Ramadan, which in actuality is supposed to be what? The first of Shawwal. Okay? Later on, somebody came from the next town and said, oh, it was so clear in our city and we saw the crescent. And the Eid was yesterday, not today. Okay? One person. But the whole community here is what? They are fasting. So tomorrow is our Eid. Okay? Tomorrow is our Eid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't hold against us what we make by mistake. Okay? And still the Eid for us is what consider, if I can use this term, the 31st of Ramadan. Okay? Although we're supposed to fast 29 days only, and the next day will be the first of Shawwal. So according this, actually the second of Shawwal is considered now first for us. I'm confusing you, I know. This is what happens when you don't eat lunch or dinner. Okay? But those who eat dinner, they understand what I'm talking about. Is it? But still, it is Eid for us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it Eid for us. More than this, even for Al-Hajj. Because somebody say, okay, there's no big deal that we fast one day, but for Hajj, what's going to happen? That means the day of Arafah was not Arafah. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from the Hajjis, okay, their waqfah of Arafah, and their Eid will be the next day, even according the moon was not. Because it's the jama'ah, it's the community, the group, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even one individual, he was the only one right and he saw it. But nobody else saw it and nobody knows the information. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to hold against you what you don't know and what you was not able to see. And this shows you the big mistake of the people who go by calculation. Yeah, and tell you tomorrow will be Eid, because Ramadan could not be 30 days for this year, and they have the calendar 20 years in advance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he Allah can inform him about what's going to happen, there's going to be a computer and the people going to know in advance 20 years. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it very simple for the Muslims, and he said that يوم الفطر يوم يفطر الناس, that whatever the majority did in this, don't tell me whatever the people do, we do it. No, we're talking about the Eid, the celebration, the breaking the fast and the Adha. Okay, so whatever that the people in collective term as a community, when they celebrate the Eid, this will be the Eid with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever the Adha, when they make their sacrifice, is acceptable for them, and this will be the Adha for them. And this is the meaning of this hadith, Al-Fitru Yawma Yafturu An-Nas Wal-Adha Yawma Yudahhi An-Nas. Next hadith, which hadith number 386, page 171. وعن أبي عمير ابن أنس عن عمومة له من الصحابة أن رقبا جاءوا فشهدوا أنهم رأوا الهلال بالأمس فأمرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يفطروا وإذا أصبحوا أن يغدوا إلى مصلاهم. Okay, حديث reported by أبي عمير ابن أنس. The hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood. And what's happened, that this horseman or caravan, they came and they arrived to Al-Madinah, and they came witness to the Prophet, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they saw them christening yesterday. That means they had arrived in the day which is supposed to be Eid. But the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not see the christening. So, and was almost like time for Zuhr. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba to do what? To break their fast, and tomorrow to go to the Musalla to perform the Eid prayer. That because the Eid prayer is already, the time of the prayer is not there anymore. But the day still exists, and is not a day of Ramadan. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, break your fast. But concerning the Salah, which he missed it, still he can make it when you go the next day, which in actuality is going to be the second day for Eid. Okay?